At 8:46 on the clock, we'll call to order the Board of Supervisors meeting for Wednesday, May 23rd, 2018. We will start by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'm trying to give him room.
Pretty much. The Opens Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation: Jurgens, Hill, Bauman, Norn, Lytle, Byers, and Tiemann. The consent agenda: 1 is a general agenda, 2 is approved minutes of meeting held May 9, 2018, 3 is approve all claims through May 23, 2018 in the amount of $496,185.55. Accept claim number 18050135 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $730.75. And claim number 18050236 to RL Team and Construction in the amount of $25,057.25 to be voted on separately below. Approve in place on file correspondence received. Approve reappointing Scott Bates for another term on the Gage County Veterans Service Committee to expire July of 2023. Thank you. Yeah, I got that one wrong. He would have been off of there already. Yeah. Number 6, approve utility permit number 1101 to Windstream Nebraska LLC. Will be boring 15 feet below existing flow line of creek for 300 feet and place new telepads at north and south end of bore along west side of 33 feet right away due to Gage County Road Project. Located in the northeast, 4th Section 31, Township 2 North, Range 7 East, Blue Springs, Wymore Township. Number 7, approve utility permit number 1102 to Windstream Nebraska LLC is placing 2,800 feet of temporary cable and new pedestal starting 170 feet west of South 66 Road, going west along the south right-of-way line east, Walnut Road, for Township Grading Project. After project is complete, Windstream will plow in cable along south right-of-way line. Northeast and northwest, 1-4 Section 28 Township, 1 North Range 7 East, Barnston Township. Number 8, approved quote received from Morse Excavating for the removal of the underground storage tanks and product lines at 620 North 6th property, formerly the bus stop.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Tiemann and seconded by Bauman. Dave, you want to explain that a little bit on, you got some of the quotes for the number 8 there, the
yes.
Removal.
Good morning. I did get several quotes. I talked to SAP and Yant, and they referred me on to several others. And what I got one from Morris Excavating, and the other one came from General Excavating. Morris Excavating is out of Council Bluffs. They would do the digging, and then they would team up with RDG, who would do the soil sample assessment and the analysis and give the final report to the Nebraska State Fire Marshal. So between those two together, Morris Excavating was $12,500. RDG is $3,490, and then there is a 10% fee to have them work together, which they recommended. Just we could hire them separately or they could work together. So there's another $349 fee for them to work together on this. And so the total amount was $16,339. The second one
would be friends.
Came in at $19,800.
So does that fee allow for one or two bags to be carried on? Do you have to check your bags?
Yes.
That's ridiculous, a 10% fee for people to work together. Well, I know we might have to do that with Eric and Terry, but...
Well, it does say that we can contract directly with RDG.
We can.
And Tiemann will take care of it. You don't have to do anything with it, Dave.
Okay. Well, hey, if it's not me, then...
$349, Tiemann would be happy to do it.
He's shaking his head yes. Is that a...
If it'll save $350.
The reason I didn't, you know, if they were to ask me a question, I would have nowhere to go with it, so...
In all seriousness, what's the 10% working together fee.
Yeah.
I mean,
I should get a fee for working with
Danny.
It says usually we invoice the excavator, Morse Excavating, directly when we send them all report copies for the signature. They will send the report copies along to the client for signature before the original copy is sent to the Nebraska State Fire Marshal. So I didn't know if there was, you know, if they get into questions or anything, that they would work with each other or not.
I think it's just a matter of where they're sending the bill in and what they're comfortable with.
Yep.
It's not so much question. I mean, yeah, there isn't a whole lot of questions on something like this.
Okay. So then the total would be $15,990.
Does everything look okay to you on that, Gary?
Yes. I like the good old days when you call Wayne Lineweber up and it gets taken care of like that, and it don't cost near this much money, but this is today's world.
I saw this price is based on empty, non-leaking tanks.
I talked to him about that. I did tell him there's probably 3 inches or so of gasoline in it yet, and he said he would consider that empty.
Just so long as the tank doesn't start leaking after they start moving it or
right.
poke a hole in it.
Yeah.
Some of them, as soon as you start lifting them up,
yeah.
they start emptying.
Yeah.
I've seen those.
Self-draining.
They look like Swiss cheese.
So basically, though, they're going to dispose of the concrete on top?
Yes. Yeah. And then just replace it with backfill.
Just replace it with backfill, and then that surface will be just dirt, and then that will be up to us how we decide to
right.
Handle that.
Yes. And when they remove the tanks, they also remove the pumps at that time also.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about that in committee meeting about the overhead.
Right.
And
okay.
stuff. So you'll be yet around for that.
Yeah.
Okay. Any more questions for Dave or anything else on here? So what we're doing is then we're approving the Morse Excavating of $12,500 and the RDG of $3,490 then, just those two things. And not the 10%. Because Eric's going to save us that $350.
Okay, you come, and you also come here and work. Now you're both there.
Well, if Eric saves us this money, are we going to have to hear for 6 months about how he saved us $350?
Worth it. Is it worth it, Matt?
Is it worth it?
I have a feeling.
Maybe it's worth paying.
Oh, gosh. Any more questions?
So we are sticking with the $15,990, right?
Yep.
Yes.
$15,990. Do we have a running total of what it's cost over at the bus stop so far? Maybe I'd be curious to see what we end up with.
I do know that the work that we're doing at this time is probably right around $30,000 at this time.
Outside of this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that's something the finance chairman should have put together. Or is that a 10% fee to get that done?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I'll do it, but then it's a 10% fee for me to tell you.
We've had a motion and a second.
Yep.
A vote, 7-0 in favor. And they thought that would be maybe a month, I think, or at least, or more.
End of June or
yeah.
early July.
Yeah, when they can get around to doing it. Okay, back to the consent agenda then. And I guess, well, number 8 we'll still leave on there, but we did that separate. Or did we do, or that was the consent agenda?
I think you made a motion on the whole consent.
On the whole consent, but we changed number 8, though.
I'll withdraw my second.
Do you want a separate motion for that change?
That was my question as much as anything. We did change number 8. It's not as it reads on here. Yeah.
Was all you
well,
did
I didn't
was
have an amount
you just
on
amended
that.
It down.
Amended
you
down.
You didn't
okay.
go with a different one.
I didn't have an amount on that.
Oh, you didn't have an amount on here. Okay.
Yeah. You're basically just approving the quote. You adjusted the quote. So.
Okay. Then we're good. Because what the motion was for and what we approved then was the consent agenda. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 180501 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $730.75. Don't need to vote on each of them separate, though.
They're both for him, so.
Oh. And claim number 180502 to RL Teeman Construction in the amount of $25,057.25. This brings a total of claims approved through May 23rd, 2018 to $521,973.55.
Good catch, though, because sometimes I do squeeze them together.
Well, no, I just thought I better ask now instead of after we vote. So, any motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
A motion by Hill, seconded by Bauman. Discussion? Vote? You're going to abstain?
Oops.
Yeah. Six in favor with Teeman abstaining. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. What?
Buzzing.
Oh, my phone's buzzing again.
Yeah, it's done now.
Right. There, now you won't hear it buzzing. And at least it don't ring. See, I can't hear it. You could hear it over there, and I couldn't hear it here.
I could feel it over here. You could feel it.
Okay. Seeing no comments from the public, we'll move on to committee reports. Building grounds, winter lights.
Hey, Dave.
Yes. Old business, the roof on the veterans office did get completed. They did that on a Saturday, so there was no interruption. They did a good job. At the bus stop, Diode, as far as I know, I think they're complete, but they've been over there working. Two guys painting came in and did a quick job painting the walls, and there was also suspended ceiling that had kind of a smoky smell, so they sprayed a special type of paint on there to take away that odor. Ham Glass has been there, installed the panels in the doors. Blue Valley Door came in and put in the overhead door, so that part is all completed. The shelving, putting down the tracks for that moving shelving system, starts tomorrow. Chad Bissiger will start on the masonry work in about a week or so from now. And he will be responsible also for taking down the awning that's attached to the building.
From the outside top of the building.
Yes.
Remove that and then do that masonry work up there.
Yes. Ron from Bachman will do an asbestos inspection today on the house by the highway department. So when that is completed, they could start on that. I received a bid for installing acoustical panels on the third floor in the courts. We have a lot of issues with the noise on that floor, so I received one bid, and I'll do some more checking on others. And I've looked online too. You can buy the acoustical panels right offline too. So I'll do kind of a cost comparison and see what that would be. Last thing is, I talked to Myron yesterday about the large awning over the gas pumps, and I talked to Don, and it sounds like that has to be declared surplus, and then after that we could probably take sealed bids on it. There has been several people locally that were very interested in it, and when I talked to Don, it sounds like we'd advertise it in the paper, and then we could probably put it on the Facebook.
Trying to work there, so is that maybe it can be taken down before they?
Yes, I was going to
check on that and see. Gus called me, and I think he called Gary too, and talked to Gary about it. That we've had several people inquire about it.
Right.
So instead of Gus did talk to the Purple Wave guy when he came down to look at the cars, and he didn't think that would be beneficial to put that on Purple Wave or whatever. That and that's why maybe if we can go about putting this out and taking sealed bids, that we could get somebody, since there's enough interest, and but we publicly need to put it out there that we're doing that, so that everybody has an opportunity, I guess. So
unless it's
go ahead,
unless it's changed in the last 8 years since I've been out of the fuel business, unless it's changed that awning, usually them are like gold to, I mean, there's usually somebody looking for one of those, and they'll, I mean, to buy one new that size, probably $20,000 to $25,000, I suppose. So a lot of times there'll be buyers for them. It's just a matter of finding them.
Yeah. On there again, maybe on the Facebook page, we could advertise it more in the Omaha Lincoln area.
Sure.
And I assume they'll need to have their own insurance when they take it down.
Right.
Do people reuse those, or what are they?
Yeah.
And the last thing I have is...
We're going to put it out, but when are we going to open the bids, I guess? That's my...
Well, we'll have to surplus it at the next meeting, and then we can see how long we want to advertise it. So you won't be able to surplus it till the 6th. And if you want to do that advertising, I would say you probably won't be able to have your bids till the July 3rd. If you want to get it to... A lot. I don't know how much advertising you want. I mean, we can do local.
As long as it can stay while they're doing the tank removal, I guess. That's the question. I don't know. I don't know.
I will check with them and see if that...
So they'd love to have it off, but that's going to lot. Advertise it, bid it, and get it removed before you...
Unless we have them move the tank taken out back or whatever, you know. I don't know. I don't know those things and stuff. Probably visit with them and see what works... for them or whatever.
And I mean, if that's the case, if they said late June, early July, maybe we can just bump them back a little bit and get
them. If we don't open it until July 3rd, we probably have to give them almost a couple of weeks, you know, till the 15th or something to get it off of there or something. So,
because I know Cleveland bought that one down at the old Gasson shop and moved it up to his place. He could give you an idea what timing was on that. That was a pretty good size one too.
They're not a real complicated piece of equipment. They're pretty simple to take down.
Okay.
A few bolts here and there, and it'll
come down. You want to see? Can you lower the price on the gas on those deals and put a little pressure on the local vendors?
Yeah. Well, we finally got the Budweiser signs off the door, so that was one step forward.
There's a former local marketer that's been doing that for several years already, Roger. It ain't helping.
And the last thing I have is Masonry Construction is wrapping up this corner. They should be done soon. They just got the tuck pointing left, and then they will move to the southeast corner and touch that up, and add no charge on that since it darkened. And they found a good way of using a mineral overlay over it to really match it in good.
But this year, we'll probably have a claim in then before the end of the fiscal year.
Yes.
You're saying, yep.
That is what I have.
Okay, thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Dave, how are we coming along with the ADA project over in the garage at the sheriff's office?
As of now, I have not moved forward with anything. I need to get a hold of some contractors. The last, when we talked about it, Mike Fakler said, you know, he wasn't able to do it at this time, and so it was recommended that we just go ahead and hire a contractor that would have his own architect move forward with it. So I do need to get some bids on that. But as of now, I have not.
Okay. My thought is let's have everything in place so that as soon as the sheriff's department gets their stuff out of the way, you can hit the ground running with that and get it done quickly.
Sure. Okay.
With that shelving going in, is that the only stuff that's left?
That would be pretty much they should be able to start moving forward with it then after that.
How long will that take?
Do you know, Doug, if when the shelving's in is... or
I don't know what Dave said.
You don't know what Dave said.
Okay. We have, that'll be the big thing. We're still dialed, about 3/4 of the way done. Then they are going to have to come back. Blue Valley Door has to come back today. The guy is doing the floors this morning. Sometime today, we think. And the shelving, 3/4 of it should be here and installed this week. And they're waiting on the rest of the pieces to be in so they can get the rest of that done. Once that's done, they got just a little bit of follow-up to do with ham glass yet on a couple braces, I think. Once that's done, we have to have the brickwork done before we can get any evidence moved over there, though. So that's got to be all secured and get all the glass out of there. So, and I think he's going to be able to start here pretty soon the way it started.
It's moving along, at least.
In a month, we'll know a lot more. Let me see where we're at.
Keep in mind, if we get going on the garage project today, by the time you got a contractor in place and all that, you're at least a month and a half down the road. Yeah.
Every bit of that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Next week.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So, yeah, we're good there.
Yep. Baby steps. It takes a little bit longer than we thought it would for everything to get everybody going, but they're moving, so.
Good.
As far as moving forward with the contractor to do that, I do have a list of things that I know we need. I don't know if this would be just a informal type thing. As far as drawing up something for them to bid on.
And that's what we were talking about.
We have the rough drawings already.
Just mail it or whether it's gonna
happen. We have a diagram of the office space. What I am more concerned about would be the approach, the handicapped approach on the outside of the building.
That was kind of part of the reason we had Fakler hired.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He has a topographical design of it, but he didn't move any further than that at that time.
But he didn't have any rough drawings for even the inside or
inside
anything.
He does.
That's what
yes.
I thought. He had. I mean, we had the drawings from him.
Yes.
And we can use that to. And I guess that's my question too. Do we put this out? And we invite a bid from a general contractor, and then he does all of that, or what? How are we going to handle that? I guess so.
If we don't specify any finishes or anything, different contractors might go with different,
pieces of it.
Products, your trim, your doors, things like that. Did I send you that architect's number?
No, I didn't follow up.
Is it worth talking to him maybe and just, because we'll need a drawing that's stamped by an architect for a permit regardless. I wonder if we get a drawing made that can get a, that stamp that we'll need for the permit anyway. If he just makes a finish schedule or something, it'll just be a list of, in this location you use this product, then everybody would be bidding the same thing.
Right.
It might just be more...
I think we need something like that so yes. that when we put it out, they can know what they're bidding on a little more, I guess.
Yeah, you can't have it left open for this bidder's going to bid it this way and then do it this way. And
those aren't bids.
That's not apples to apples.
Yeah. And is there a cost estimate that you've got from Fakler as far as doing this?
We had a rough estimate ourselves. We had a contractor come down and tell us what he would do it for, and then I just went through a list of the HVAC, the plumbing, drop ceiling, the walls, and I don't have that.
Is it over $20,000?
It was over $150,000.
Yeah, you can't piece it. You'll have to bid that.
But then we'll need to, the reason I'm bringing up is if on next meeting our agenda, we could put that out for bids. That's if we would have enough information and enough of it so we know where we're at. I don't know if we can or not. And then put it out for one bid for one general contractor and they sub out.
They sub, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, well, and then, like you said, that's why I asked if you had, the project and had the estimate from the architect, but...
The interior, I think we would have a pretty good idea of what we need, and even the exterior of the building, but it would be more just, the drive, the approach coming into it is what we don't have any information on. And that will change quite a bit on the outside.
Are there any architects you want to maybe call, Gary?
I'm sure we can find one.
Yeah, I can...
I can give you that guy's number, and maybe he can put something together. I wouldn't think if there's a rough idea already, I wouldn't think it would take that much to put a big bid package together.
On the inside, it's pretty cut and dry. It's just, walls going north and a wall going east and west, and we know where the restroom, there will be plumbing to go in, but other than that, it's...
What do we need a contractor for? Klaus can do that.
That's right.
Let's be straight, though.
I'm sorry. We want somebody we can depend on.
Yeah. Well, let's see what we can do and try to have that for a goal for our next. If we want to move this along, our next meeting, we'd have to put this out for or start advertising, I guess. So we'll see if we can do that or not and get it done. If not, we'll have to postpone it to another meeting and
okay.
stuff. So
okay. Thank you.
Thanks for coming, Dave. Equalization.
Nothing.
Finance and insurance.
The large ticket items. Election systems and software, ballots, coding, layout, programming, $11,346.18. Washington County Sheriff, inmate boarding and medical, $13,580.75. Bauer Built Tires, road department, $10,542.80. Beatrice Concrete, sand and gravel for gravel, $54,445.30. RLT Construction Hauling Gravel, $25,057.25. Sat Brothers Fuel and Grease, $24,002.53.
Anything else for finding? We have an agenda item again to talk about the budget just a little bit. But anything else for finance? Human resource employee relations.
I guess the only thing we had discussion on the call-out policy, but we're going to have that again on the agenda.
Yeah, that on the agenda. Law enforcement emergency management. Doug left already.
He's right. Yeah, Lisa's here for a little bit of...
Yep.
Update. Yep. So, good morning, everybody. As far as an update on the South Tower, we are active right now as of last Wednesday. So the pages, Carla and I met with the committee, the pages so far have come out clear. We know that we're going to have some issues along the way. We'll start to document those issues and probably wait 30 days or so before we, you know, unless there's something imperative, but then we can just pretty much put together, you know, any complaints or anything from that 30 days and then move forward. So, so far, so good. I actually have Barnston Fire coming in this morning. We're working on their proposal for their new firehouse. And so, I'll talk with them, actually here in a little bit when they come in. So I'm just keeping the lines of communications open with all the fire districts for us is important. So, but that's about all we have to report this morning so far. So questions?
And okay. Sometime in the future, the other tower, we're to the point where that one can be taken down.
That is correct, and that may move soon, depending upon weather. I mean, you have contracted. We have that signed contract with Zephyr. They pretty well determine, you know, when it comes down. Those wind speeds are imperative. Mr. Juergens looks like he had to have some emergency management over there on his. Sorry, I
think
couldn't help
wise,
but notice.
Wise decision that we're not letting him take it down by the books.
Iron is a crazy thing. But anyway, so hopes are, you know, they determine. And so we'll be ready. We have teams ready to go. When that in fact happens, along with law enforcement knows and the departments at Wymore and Blue Springs also know. So,
but when that tower comes down, then Gary can't talk about it at meetings again for the next two, three, four, or five years.
I know it's been an ordeal.
Did he have a campaign sign on that tower?
I have not seen that. I have been on that property so darn many times. But you know, the important part, again, is focusing back to, you know, just coverage and everybody being feeling comfortable about, you know, how things are working. So we may not be there. We may be there. So it's an evolving thing around weather conditions, too.
Yeah, the early results of the coverage.
Everything
there
early
good.
Was
yeah,
excellent.
Real positive.
So yeah.
Yep. Anytime you move stuff or go with a different route, you will have some glitches or whatever. So
that's true.
They'll be worked out.
Yep. So anyway.
But at least the coverage is, at least what you're telling us, the coverage is there, what they talked like.
When the pages went out right after it was active, all those pages came back clear, strong and clear. We know that Philly heard it on Hackberry Road. I heard another page off of South Tower over the weekend, and as the crow flies, I'm 15 miles from that tower. Essentially, if you drive it, I'm 22, but as the crow flies, yeah, I'm 15. So I think that's good, and that was in the basement.
Oh, wow. Good.
Okay.
But
the backup repeater in Odell, that's in
so,
place? Or?
Yes. Well, not yet. We're still operating that particular system as we have. We have some, I've pulled all the equipment out of the buildings, you know, so we're kind of inventorying what we have. And so I'll continue today to get that done, you know, too. So we'll kind of surmise what's left. If we need to go somewhere with some equipment to, you know, assist with a better coverage, we may have some used equipment that we can actually use. But, the goal is that the Odell comments that came back when that page came in was, very, very strong. So,
weren't we going to do
the
that?
The goal is, yes.
As backup, though.
Yep. As a redundancy, yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So. Okay. Just want to make sure we were still.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yep. Okay.
Good. Law enforcement, I think we're going to discuss a little bit of law enforcement here in a while. Let's see. Yeah. I think the big item was the jail budget that we'll be discussing here in a bit.
Well, the jail budget, and then we have a transfer again, another $60,000. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything else for law enforcement emergency management? If not, road and bridge?
Odell North, the box culvert is getting started. Projects are getting started. The road will be closed May 22nd, and Galen, that was approximately how long of a project did they estimate? Was it 2 months?
Yeah.
2 months. 2 months to get it completed, approximately, depending on weather. Galen's visited with landowners for easements on a bridge project in E31 Blue Springs, Wymore. Galen's talked to the city about trees and cutting them down at the house across from the office of the highway crew. Will take down the house when they get the okay from the attorney's office.
Well,
when I get the okay from Dave.
Okay.
and just to bring that up quick, there's apparently a $25 tax is owed on that yet.
Really?
Yeah, that has come forward that Don's going to end up paying, and there'll be a claim next time in the claim period that
okay.
We have to pay $25 worth of taxes yet on
what
that
the hell's worth $25 in that place? Okay. Last Tuesday, the fuel pumps down at the county barn went south on us. Data did exploring all the underground wiring going to the pumps. Is all corroded, all needs to be replaced. Estimated cost, $5,200. And I noticed this morning they've got it all dug out and they're ready to replace them whenever they get to that. As of last week, 19 townships gravel was done, working on the next three. And Becky, weed superintendent, bought a portable handheld computer for the weed department.
So, Galen, the township gravel there, I mean, if at the rate they're going, you know, here, for sure by the end of June, we're going to be done with spring allotment.
Correct.
Yeah.
Just go into fall.
Sorry. And just go right into fall, because previous years, though, we would have had to wait and bid it out in September. Yeah.
So. When's the first day of summer? June 22nd?
First.
June 1st. So we might actually get spring done in spring.
That might be a first ever.
It really is, Matt.
Yeah, I'm serious. It might have been a while.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, I know, and just as you drive around townships or county and stuff, you see, well, geez, we got gravel out here, and then you go, well, they got gravel there. Usually we don't have that problem. You drive around, you hope you see some new gravel somewhere. And
I suppose if we get behind, we can just call the guys out and get it done.
Yeah. So, no, I think that's been a good thing and stuff that we will do that, and even changing the bidding process so that we have the ability now to go ahead and do that, so that gravel is getting on more in the summertime, where it's not going to be in a snowstorm in the end of November and pushed right off the road and stuff. So I think that we had some positive things there. So anything else for road and bridge? It's 9:21, so we have time agenda at 9:30. So we will skip the time agenda and go to approve or disapprove resolution to transfer $60,000 from miscellaneous general fund to sheriff's department jail budget for additional funding for obligations of said budget.
Motion to approve.
18-13.
18-13.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Lytle.
And this would be, with this transfer, it would be $180,000 additional this fiscal year to the jail.
Above what the original budget was set at. And this is, again, to transfer so that we can meet the obligations that came through the claim process.
What was our contracted amounts on the jail, outside jail holdings? I can't remember what they were.
$50. One was Lexington 45.
45 and...
Somebody was 50 or 55.
Oh, but didn't that go back down?
What's Washington? Is that Washington? Washington was
40.
No, it's now 45 or...
So 45, it's not 50.
40 or 50, something like that.
150.
And the total, Washington, what was the contracted amount that we ended up...
We had 10 inmates at Washington, and we had 5 at Lexington, and we made a commitment.
That we contracted that we would stand behind, or that we would guarantee.
For a year.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have an amnesty and just let everybody out and not pay anything.
We could do that, maybe, yeah.
It could be a sanctuary county.
Yeah.
Isn't that the end thing to do?
if you took 15 inmates at the $45 a day times 15 inmates, which we made a commitment to, that's $675 a day, and then times 365 days a year, that's $246,000. And jail is 22. Is that the right one?
I'll find him.
That's what I was thinking when you figured it out, it was close to $250,000.
It was almost $250,000 trying to find the jail.
Yeah, no, I know.
Oh, here's county jail. And we have...
You're looking at the budgeted line for that?
Yep. We budgeted... this has been added up. This wasn't the original budget. This is $310,000,
right,
because that's where you put
where
it in there.
Transferred in, so we've transferred $120,000 into that.
Just a minute. Then. That's 16-17. This year's budget. You have 17-18, yeah.
We're discussing now, since you just got here, transfer of money to the jail budget.
Prisoners. 101,000.
No. Here.
We're discussing right now whether we'll transfer money to the jail budget.
190,000.
Thought you should know that.
190 was the original.
All right, here,
original.
Thank you for your
And we're up to this would have been not counting this pay period, and there were some claims coming in this pay period. We spent $304,270. But that doesn't count. That's not counting this pay period, what we approved today. This was as of last pay period. We spent $304,270.93 on boarding inmates, outside boarding inmates. And the original budget had $190,000 in it that we approved. So that's where most of that, original $120,000 that we transferred went to, or whatever, as you look at the budget, the line items in the budget. This will go up by another $60,000 in the jail budget.
General will come down another $60,000.
Miscellaneous. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
so we have to look, because my miscellaneous line is almost gone.
Yes.
So there's like $20,000 left in it after this. And that's where your excess.
Why don't you watch that a little closer, Dawn?
I'm watching it go down.
Well, the reason she brings that up is there is a pretty good possibility that there will need another transfer yet.
Maybe for one or two budgets.
And if we do transfer it, next time it won't be coming out of the miscellaneous general budget because there's not enough in that line item.
It will, but it's going to shorten everything else in there. That's the only place you've got to
do you have any idea how much much we're going to need for the additional pay for the new FOP contract?
Well, we're working on that right now.
Do you think that's a couple weeks, or do you think we're a month out on that?
Well, hopefully we can get in the next couple weeks. I know Charlotte is working back and forth with Julie, and you know they'll go through parts of it because you've got to go through so many other things to figure their back pay, with their holiday taken, their court time appearances, their wages, their, you know, all of that. So they think they're moving forward, and then they go backwards again. So.
So we had 190 figured for outside holds. Right now, we've with the transfers we've made already, we're at 310.
304.
That's what we've spent, but with the 102, aren't we about? Because if we had 190 budgeted, we put another 120 in there, we're at 310.
Yes.
We spent 304, so that covers us now. Where else are we short? I mean, there has to be somewhere else where it's not outside holds that are.
Oh, you mean that we're over budget?
Yeah. I mean, there's some minor things, but I mean, that's basically a. After our contracts, isn't that an.
Yeah, I don't have the last expenditure in front of me.
2.25 for our contracts.
We were at 86% of salaries, but see that, you know, that is.
So they're over, let's see.
Medical treatment is over 60,000.
Well, utilities, this is utilities, lights, water, sewer, and garbage. They're over by $4,700 over budget.
Down here's your
medical treatment, you're over by almost 60,000.
Yeah, medical treatment of inmates is over by 60,000. We budgeted 70,000 and we spent 129,517 on medical treatments of inmates. So, and that kind of correlates to a higher population of inmates. You're going to have more medical expense. So, and that's what that kind of correlates to. Well, and then same way with clothing. We budgeted 6,000 for clothing. We spent 10,155. If you have more inmates, you're going to have to buy more clothes for them. Those are the big items, you know, and the salary that will be once we get to the end of the figuring up the FOP contract and the back pay, then that will probably be adjusted too, or be a negative number. So, but no, Matt's right. The medical, you spend another 60,000 extra on medical.
But then the gender diversity too. We remove the females, right? Try to keep them out of that population just the way that the jail is set up.
Any more discussion? Otherwise, it's almost 9:30, so we have a time event, so we need to vote on this. We have a motion and a second?
Yes, we do.
Vote, 7-0 in favor. And we do. We have one more minute to wait. There is a sign-in sheet, and I think Lisa was passing that around, so anybody that would like to talk.
This should be really quick.
Which one?
That was a goof up of mine. The next one.
Oh, okay. Don said we'd go ahead and do the next one here. Approve or disapprove correction of the transfer of $75,000 to Economic Development Fund that should have been transferred to the County Building Fund, and having the Treasurer do a journal entry from the Economic Development Fund to the County Building Fund.
Move to approve.
I got on the wrong
second.
Line when I coded it.
Okay. Motion by Lytle and seconded by Bauman. And it's just this is more of a bookkeeping
cleanup, and that's when I talked to the auditor just to make sure so that they could see what I did. She said this. Is what
then
we
have a record of it.
Yep.
Okay. Vote 7-0 in favor. Okay. 9:30 on the clock, and we do have a timed event, public hearing to hear support and or opposition on the vacation of abandonment of undeveloped streets and alleys as platted in the unincorporated town of Rockford and the original town of Rockford, Gage County, Nebraska, and I entertain a motion to go into a public hearing at 9:30 on the clock.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Hill. Vote. 7-0 in favor. And
I've got something I need to say before we start this. The call I received right at the end of equalization was from the tenant that farms the land surrounding Rockford. And he told me that he had instructed the person planting the beans to stay away from Elm Street and how to do it. But he says, I think it got planted, so those beans will be able to be mowed or harvested by whoever.
And there's a sheet going around for a sign up, or we have that here. So we will start by the first one on the list, and you can come on up, Rick Vogel. We have three people signed in. We need your name and address for the record.
Richard A. Vogel, 26840 Rockford Drive, Beatrice.
Okay. You need to swear you in. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay.
So, as all of us out there at Rockford were talking to Mr. John Hill and that about dividing the property back up, and our what we take off of it is that if you adjoin to the roads, that you're going to split the property in half. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay. And then, so do we have to later on have a surveying crew come in and take care of that, or do we just leave it alone as neighbors?
That, I guess that depends on your neighbors. If you and your neighbor are comfortable with it, I mean, you split it up and you may already have an fence that's been there for a while. If you can't agree on a place, why, you're going to have to survey it.
That would be
my thoughts.
Okay, thanks, John. The only other thing that I got is the one lady that's here. My property adjoins the driveway going up to the old school, and the other person that owns the land is Nancy and Carol Mayfield. And I have no intentions of changing anything. I don't want anything to do with that road. If I'd like just to deed it over to her, because that's the only way to get to the old school. So me and my wife, Teresa, we just like to deed it over to her, if that's somehow we can get that done.
I guess I'll refer that to Roger. That's probably after this is all done, and they would just have to go and do that.
Yeah, that would be up to the private landowner.
Okay.
Just go to
one of our lawyers and just get that done then? Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
And Roger, that was not advertised as one of the streets that was going to be vacated. It's this one here.
Okay. So basically, it's the two adjoining landowners?
Yes.
And it's not being vacated. So I don't think...
John, you said something about, though, then, is it in their names already, then? Or is it still in our county name?
I guess technically it's in our county name, although it doesn't show up as county property, but...
Again, if it's still a dedicated but unopened street, we'd have to go through the vacation process to do that legally.
Okay.
No. Again, if it's only... I get into a lot of private what-ifs. I mean, if nobody cares, and it's not a situation where, you know, we're running into competing uses.
Yeah. It's been that way for 35 years I lived there, and I have no intentions of changing anything. I just want to be able to let her go up to her property.
You talk to your private attorneys, but if nobody is...
Fair enough.
Cares, it doesn't matter. A lot of times you have gardens planted in there or something.
It's more so for in the future years. I mean, somewhere down the road, then it's been handled. That's what you're
because if
at.
I ever sell the property or...
Yeah.
That's when it could come up.
That way she still has access to get up to her property.
So. Unless this changed, though, that piece that you're talking about, the drawing I have, that's not being vacated.
Not on this proposal that we're going forward with. That street is not being vacated.
Good. That's all I got.
So then that still is, and Roger will have to comment on it, but it still is a street then yet.
Technically, it's a dedicated street that's never been opened.
So nothing would change at this point?
No.
Need to do that, right?
If it
became an issue. I mean, that's the other things that have become an issue. If, just as Mr. Vogel said, if he would sell his property at some point and somebody would have an intended use for it, they may have to get into it, you know, like, well, you're going to have to, you know, acquire that property or something like that.
Right.
Well, again, you'd face that at the time.
As long as it's county right away, nothing would change. And even if you sold property, it wouldn't be a big deal. But
right.
If some point in the future, then the county did, and then Rick wasn't the owner of that property, then it would change. Yeah, it could become an issue.
Well,
but as long as the county keeps ownership of it, it'll stay just as it is.
Yeah, I mean, whoever's using it, if the two owners are happy, we'll never know about it. And unless you open the school or something, or it become a public use again or a need, we're probably never going to hear about it again.
You don't care about it, and she wants to use it.
No. I'm happy.
Oh, yeah, there's no issue.
I mean, then you don't have to spend money on an attorney.
You don't even have to spend money on an attorney. No.
And Roger, did you ever find if this is ours to vacate and give away?
What, on this stuff?
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, it's basically, it's again, the idea, keep in mind, it's dedicated. At some point in the past, there was a platting of the properties, you know, for a town. And the streets and stuff were all put in. Yeah, we went through that. Galen looked all that stuff up and with the register of deeds. And again, at some point, and we have places like that in Beatrice as well, where most of the time it's alleyways that have been dedicated but never opened. And again, basically what we're doing is cleaning up the title so people can utilize their property. Is the best way to look at it.
Of all the folks that live here, are there any disputes about how things are being laid out? What we're proposing to do here, is there any dispute?
I don't think so. I think, you know, the only question is if, you know, it looks like this block cannot be added at this time. We'd have to go through a separate process.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. And whether we choose to do that or not, I don't know.
On this proposal, the one that we're bringing forward here today, if I understand it right, and if John showed us right, that street, we're not doing anything.
Okay.
We're not closing it or passing it back to landowners. So it will stay as it is currently today.
Okay.
My preference would be to vacate it in the future and give half to
now if,
both sides.
And that's something the property owners in this situation, as you talk, and if you want to, then that's something we'd have to bring again. You know, we'd have to come back here and we'd have to have the public hearing and go through that process to close that.
Fair enough.
But that's, generally speaking, that comes from the property owners or a township.
Okay.
The odd thing is on that one, though, the portion that would go to Rick is the driveway that Holly uses. So then the one that needs it for access would be the one that didn't have it. Because I assume you maintain your driveway yourself, the township doesn't do that, even though it's in a roadway of the county.
But he could give it.
It hasn't been touched in 35 years I've lived there.
It hasn't been.
But he could give a perpetual easement for a dollar.
No. Why have the liability if something bad happens there, though, and it's not even?
Do you drive pretty crazy going down your driveway?
Two wheels.
All right. Okay. All right, thank you.
Did we answer them good enough, I guess?
Good enough.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Rick.
Next up, Lisa Smith. And your name and address for the record?
Lisa Schmidt, 26654 Rockford Drive.
You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I just have one question. There's an alley behind my property that will be involved in this. And if we split that in half, I'm not sure because I don't know exactly where the property line is. I may have some mature trees that might be a little over. I was wondering if I might be in danger of losing some of those if this happens. Or how do I go about keeping my trees if someone is angry about this and decided to come in and start tearing them out? How do you handle mature trees, I guess, is what I'm asking.
That's basically between the property owners.
Yeah. Okay.
We can't do anything about that.
All right.
And I just, I mean, they've been there a while.
You get into questions
about adverse possession. You know, as far as acquiring title to it, since the trees, if they are over on the property.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm just, that's what I'm concerned about because they've been there for years and years and, okay.
Sometimes, like I said, the, go talk to the neighbors and see if everybody's going to be agreeable as opposed to paying for a survey, paying for a lawyer, and going to court.
Right, okay.
I'm not going to say anything, but usually when you start totaling those things up, you can agree on the trees.
Yeah, you get attorneys involved and things go south in a hurry.
Well, those surveyors are high, too.
Yeah.
But the answer is then if the neighbor doesn't like them and they're on their half, they can
just legally rip
them
off.
Well, technically, you can go up. If my tree is hanging over in my neighbor's yard, he can trim it. Straight up if he wants to.
But the neighbor would also have to determine where that line is.
Yeah, right.
They would be responsible for surveying
it. So then it cost a survey and everything, too? Or?
Yeah.
What side of the property would the trees be on?
You're looking on the west side?
On the east side.
East side, yes. These here.
East side, right on that alleyway. It looks like a lot of those trees are probably on the neighbor's half of that alley, unfortunately.
The other thing it offers, we do have a mediation service in Beatrice, and sometimes it helps just having a third party sit down with you.
Okay, all right.
That's
okay, that's all I had then.
I left you out of that one, Doug.
You know, the other thing is there are, I guess further to the south, there are trees that meander out into that field, maybe.
Quite a ways.
Yeah, maybe.
Because if you look straight down, mine's straight, and then out juts some more. And he goes around those right now, the gentleman that leases the property.
Yeah, right by your place, it looks like the trees are the tightest to the property line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Thanks, Lisa.
Next, Holly Sedlacek. Name and address?
24824 Rockford Drive, Holly Sedlacek.
Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I think Rick covered everything. Yeah. The one block that is not going to be vacated, maybe a suggestion was made to me, a sign down at the bottom of it, not a through street or no outlet, might be helpful.
Do we ever put something up like that, a no-outlet sign or something? Or is that a property owner thing?
On Township Road once in a while, yeah.
On Township Road?
Is Rockford Drive called a Township Road now?
Well, legitimately, I think it would be a Township Road. I mean, we have the county road, the main road going through.
It was just a suggestion.
Yeah.
And I don't know who maintained that. That street that goes up to the old school years and years ago.
Oh, years ago. Rick and I do now.
Yeah.
Do you ever have many people come up that way or because they want to look at the old school? Or
Just one here lately. Gage County knows about it.
Oh.
So, but other than that, no, there's no reason.
No reason to.
So it was just a suggestion that was made.
That's something that you may have to do. We may have to go put a sign out there if you continue to have issues or not, and that's something that...
And signs are only good for law-abiding citizens, so... Yeah. But anyway, if you don't want to spend the money on it, it's okay.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks,
Mike. Rick covered the rest.
He covered the rest. Yes. Well, good deal.
Thank you. You can read this
here. We don't have anybody else signed up. Is any more comments from any of you three, or otherwise I don't see anybody else here signed up to make comments. If not, I'll entertain a motion at 9:45 on the clock to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Bauman. Vote 7-0 in favor. The other thing, unless somebody wants to, we're going to postpone this for 2 weeks to vote on. Right?
Right.
Yes. The intent is, or the plan was to vote on this at our next meeting for approval or disapproval of this plan that was brought forward. You want a time for that, or we don't need a time otherwise?
Well, we're running pretty tight.
how we got, it would have to be at, we've got one at 9, 9:15, 9:30, 9:45, so I guess
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock would be
10
the
o'clock.
Next one.
We'll just put it on at 10 o'clock if somebody wants to come when we vote on it, and that's when we'll have our discussion unless some people have the thoughts they'd like to discuss about it today. Otherwise, we will approve that on our, what is that, our June 6th meeting. Approve or disapprove at our June 6th meeting, so. Anything else for that project? John, you got anything else?
No, I don't.
We will move on to the next thing on the agenda then. We did all these on this page. Discussion on the 2018-2019 county budget.
Whose is this?
Or did I skip something
I think
there?
Is that Lisa's?
Well, that was Lisa's. Oh.
Eric, was that Lisa's?
Yes, I'm sorry. There could be some adverse things on the on swapping those roads over, though. I mean, if you have somebody that's farming that ground and all of a sudden that's legitimately theirs, I mean, I would probably consider going through and ripping all the trees out, you know, along the line. It's bad for the crops. It takes up space. So, I mean, that is some potential negative there that, I mean, you're basically not changing any uses other than now somebody can come in and rip everything out.
Discussion on 2018-2019 county budget. Eric. Sorry. Next time I'll wait.
Looks like the jail budget will be going up. Now that Don's done with election, I suppose we'll start going through everything. How long until offices will start turning in there?
I hope to maybe in the next day or two roll the figures over after we get done with this audit here, roll the figures and then print out for their budget. So they won't come in until probably the middle of June.
But even though we don't like transferring money to the jail, it's one of those things we knew about ahead of time, so it's not a surprise. It's one of those things that we did make those agreements. It does save money in the long run.
But one other thing people need to be aware of too is to get a claim in this fiscal year yet.
June 13th.
You're talking like June 13th, about a claim has to be submitted by June 13th, because our last meeting of the fiscal year will be June 20th.
I sent out an email to
a lot of people
everybody.
Remind people. So
every office, yeah.
So there's two more pay periods yet that we'll have claims coming forward in this fiscal year.
We won't have back pay then for. That's what I was wondering. Is if we'd have back pay for the FOP on this fiscal.
We're hoping.
It's possible. You're saying there's a chance.
We can get all the figures done. That's our goal. I mean, we want to get it done.
Anything else on the budget for next year? If not, next up, discuss joining the opioid cost recovery proposal by Domino Law. And Roger and Don and I each got an email from them, and this is something that they actually sent out a request for Gage County to join this, or if they wanted to join it. I shouldn't say Gage County to join it. If Gage County wanted, they have a proposal that they sent out and what the cost would be, and I'll let Roger, I guess.
Yeah, basically there's probably three or four different law firms across the country that are pursuing litigation against the opioid manufacturers. I was at the county attorney's meeting in Kearney last week and met with the attorney general. The attorney general is actively taking a part in that on behalf of the counties and the cities. And, probably we can have some further discussions on this, probably go over some things as far as probably at the next meeting, if you go into closed session. I just wanted to let you know that, again, we have somebody that's looking out for us. There are some things that have been commented But I'm not aware of anything where the Attorney General has done a disservice, particularly the one we have in office right now. Mr. Peterson is a very good individual. And in the past, we've had like the cigarette recovery, and there was one other one, and I'll be darned if I can remember, that basically the state received monies. They were earmarked. And there's some references that these other firms are out there to make sure the county gets it. And I'll just leave it at that before I say something I shouldn't.
Right.
But I would just say, if anybody asks you, we are included through the Attorney General's office right now without doing anything.
Is there questions that we can ask, Roger? Does this need to be in closed session if we discuss? Because I guess I have concerns about being a part of it myself.
Well, and I would tell you this: a lot of times Don gets stuff, like class action claims, and have we invested in a certain mutual fund or something? Back in the 60s, who knows? But again, as much as we can, we'd respond to those. And if there's some way to be included, and of course, that's always, you could get millions of dollars. Some of this stuff, I would just say, again, there has been no establishment of liability yet. You also, by law, have to establish damages. And I think that's one of those things that it's going to take a lot of time. I talked to Don. In this letter, it was, what are your estimates of what the opioid crisis has caused as far as Gage County? Wow. I could give you a guesstimate, and it wouldn't even rise to that level as far as, how many people have we incarcerated over there because of an opioid addiction versus just being somebody that breaks the law?
Who's the class? Is this just something Domino's trying to promote to get some more money for Domino's law firm?
Well, it's a class action. So, of course, they have to certify a class. They have taken that step. And like I said, across the nation, I believe there's three other major law firms that have taken this on. And these are people that do specialize in class actions. You got to be able to devote a lot of man and woman power to these things, because you're taking on some pretty heavy-duty defendants here that have lots of money, too. But, like I said, our concern, and several of the other county attorneys that were out at our meeting had similar concerns, because they all got these letters. And, again, for our constituents, we want to make sure we're taking care of them, and if there is a cause of action that would reimburse the county for some of their costs, absolutely, we're always interested in that. But to find out, and like I said, Mr. Peterson indicated, we're on top of this, we're watching this, and we're taking an active role. I will do a little more look, and again, some of these things we can talk about in closed session, but I just wanted to reassure you, because you guys have been contacted also, and if anybody calls and asks, yes, we're being included. The interests of Gates County citizens are being addressed. And I'm just going to check out a couple more things in the next couple of weeks and get back with you guys.
Who's being sued in this action?
It's basically the manufacturers, the drug people that make, like, hydrocodone, those types of prescription medications that are...
This has been all over the country and all the news media, everywhere you look. Every drug manufacturer there is part of this.
Right. I knew the answer before I asked it. I'm just saying that it just doesn't make any sense to me that we're going to sue the supplier when it's the criminal that creates the behavior.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's been...
I just disagree with it.
Yeah. Well, and Mr. Peterson used an example that he had some situations where... 18-year-old was getting his wisdom teeth pulled, and the dentist had prescribed either it was hydro or oxy, like 60 tablets.
Right, that's the responsibility of the provider and the
right.
And
but
the
again, I think
the manufacturer.
They're forcing some accountability on people that we probably should have been watching a little closer. But with the addiction and the epidemic that's coming, we are looking at a lot closer. And when I say we, law enforcement as well as the administration, the criminal justice system. It's a good thing all the way around. It's a good point you make. I mean, it's kind of like suing Remington Arms or Savage for a manufacturing gun that's used in a holdup in Texas. How far do we go?
Yep.
But that's what the courts are for, right?
But let me be a little more blunt with what I'm trying to say, Roger. I don't want the state attorney general to have the power to use Gage County's name to go after anybody or to be a part of something that's going on. Because I agree 100% with what Matt's saying. You got law-abiding companies, we think, unless they got some reason to say that the drug manufacturers are creating something that is purposely addicting these people, and they know how it does it, and they're using that. I don't want to be a part of going after somebody just because there's a crisis, and you're pointing it back at them and saying it's their fault when they're creating a product that is helping people manage pain. I don't see that as being a good idea.
Okay, and what I'm basically saying, they're monitoring that now. As far as we have not submitted any data that will have to be accumulated to prove to a court that we've suffered, $10,000 a year for 20 years. There's a lot of legwork that needs to be done on this thing, and including just what Matt's alluding to, the issue of liability. I didn't want to say that, I agreed we can go along with this. I'm just saying that the Attorney General is looking out for Nebraska at this point. He doesn't have a claim to submit. But again, if there's some negligence on the part of the manufacturers in some manner, and if you recall Big Tobacco, part of those lawsuits that got them hooked on this thing was the stuff they were putting in the cigarettes that added to the addiction.
Sure.
It wasn't just smoking tobacco. So that kind of, I think, tipped the scale when that one came over the deal.
That one makes sense. I don't disagree with that.
And again, so I'm not aware of anything that's even being alleged at this point, but... the only reason I responded to this was because some of you guys got these letters, and like I said, I should have some more that we can touch base.
We'll leave it, and when you have something you want to bring forward to us about the possibility to do something, then we'll discuss it again. Otherwise, no way. I didn't bring it forward that we needed to join them or anything. Since we did publicly get it or whatever, and we needed to have the discussion.
Well, as Denny said, there's talk out there about these things. They're in the papers almost every day.
And it was in the paper, I think, Holt County or Boyd County or one of them up there joined. Is the original one that joined with
I think they said there's like 13 or something like that.
So we will leave that for future meetings. Other item on the agenda is discuss and approve or disapprove the call-out policy. And Galen's here too, but we do have in the handbook here, we have the call-out policy, what we've kind of been going by or thought we were going by, and there's still some, we find out over the years, there's still some vaguer areas that we thought we were following and maybe weren't, with some of us had different ideas or the way they should went. Eric did bring forward some thoughts and gave those out too to everybody. And since then, that's created a lot of discussion. We had more discussion on Monday, and that's why we put this on here, so that we are going to go by the policy here in our handbook, and then we'll make changes to that if people want to make changes or whatever. So, who wants to bring a thought or proposal?
Eric, this is your baby. Go ahead and start. What don't you like?
I'm okay with any of it as written or completely changed. The biggest thing right off the bat, are they being paid 2.5 times on top of their benefit hours, or are they being paid 1.5 times?
2.5 times, like it says.
You're talking for a holiday.
On a holiday, yes.
On a holiday.
The intent of the policy is that they would 2.5 times.
And certainly that is not how I remember the intent of it being, but I always understood the intent was to reach a total of 2.5 times, including the holiday pay. I mean, it's not fun to work on a holiday, but 3.5 times on day after Thanksgiving is pretty good pay.
And like I say, I wasn't here, so I'm just, as a person that's trying to understand it, whatever you guys came up with, I don't care what we end up with, just so the employees know what it is. Clerk knows what it is. Galen knows what it is.
The dollar amount that brought up, did you look that up for sure, Dawn? Over the last 6 years, amounted to $6,000 per year is what?
No. $600 per year. It was
$36,000 total.
It wasn't even that much.
Wasn't it?
No, it amounted to $600 per year, an average of the years
okay.
that they brought forward.
That's what we're arguing about here. Okay?
At least that was the information that they brought forward right. from Nancy and Becky that they had accumulated down there at the office or whatever.
Yep. And I think that was part of the, not I think, I know it was part of the discussion of how do we pay the employees on those holidays, recognizing it's a low-volume issue that it happens. And it's all money. It's all taxpayer money. I mean, that's a given. But it wasn't – it's just such a low volume that we spent more time talking about it than just paying the employees for the work they're doing on the holiday.
And I'm fine with 2.5. And I think benefit hours you take out completely. That's just – benefit hours, you aren't talking about it here. Whatever we have, just so it's straightforward there. One of the other major questions was, is this call out or is this a day extension?
The way we talked about it again Monday, we went over this many times. To me, if 2 o'clock in the afternoon it starts snowing, Galen said everybody here at 5 in the morning, that's overtime. Galen calls everybody at 3 o'clock in the morning, unknown that they have to come to work. And they have to come to work then at 5 in the morning, just say that number. Then it's call out. If there's a storm, tornado, water over the road, barricades out, undetermined that this is going to happen, somebody has to go out, call out.
That makes sense, but that's not what we're doing evidently. Every time we go out early before or we stay late?
It depends on when the call was made to me, when they're supposed to come to work.
That's
the way it should be, but that's not what we're doing.
But again, by design, when this was written, number one was paramount. Must be designated and approved by the highway department or highway superintendent. Not to micromanage that gentleman's department. We hire him to do the job. If we've got issues about how he's doing that, we can clarify that with him, and then he can oversee the employees. So the designation should be left up to the highway superintendent.
Bob Davis was under the impression anytime they're in early or anytime they're in late, anytime outside of their 7:30 to whatever time frame is call out.
But it doesn't say that. That's an employee's interpretation contrary to what's written. I can propose and suppose everything I want, but what's written is written, and he should run that through his highway superintendent.
But then if you go by number one, then some of these discussions we've had the last couple of years, we shouldn't even be having them.
Bam!
I agree. and this is where I want to get to. I want to make sure we don't have those discussions in the future, that it is understood between the board and Galen and everything. And that's where we come at right now today. We want to, and I hesitate to use the word micromanage, but we're almost doing it. We're kind of micromanaging the situation every time it comes up. It's not Galen's fault he brings that to us, but there's been questions brought up of certain situations, and then they brings that to us, and then we sit here and we have this discussion again. And if they were paying us by the hour that we've had this discussion, we spent a lot more than $600 a year.
Yes, we have.
I'll just say that.
Well, and I wonder if we figure that's figuring off of those guys. If we're figuring times that we come in early as call out pay, that $600 isn't right. No. I'll guarantee it's not right. It's
I think they
number
were.
They came up
no,
with.
I think they were coming up with that for holidays.
That was just holidays.
Oh, just on holidays.
Was that your impression,
yep.
Galen, or not?
I believe so.
That's what
oh,
I believe, too.
I was going to say, that can't
it was $600
right.
a year that's averaged over the last 6 years for holiday, extra pay, getting the 2.5 times instead of the 1.5 times on holiday.
So what's general consensus? I know Matt and Terry, it's 2.5 times. Benefit hours are out. Let's forget about benefit hours.
We're get the holiday no matter what.
Yeah. So is that 2.5 or 1.5?
My thought is it's 1.5 because that's what the rest of the county is.
Is that something we vote on? Like I say, I'm not pushing this one way or another. I'm just saying just so that there's no more. After we're done with this, we never talk about we bury it way down deep in the handbook and never talk about it again.
Is what, you mean overtime?
No, we don't. We'll still talk about it.
1.5, you're paid at the rate of 1.5 plus you get your holiday pay.
So for what?
For working on a holiday. If you work 4 hours on a holiday, you're going to get 1.5 for 4 hours.
What office are you talking about when you say that?
It shouldn't matter.
It shouldn't matter.
Okay.
It really
shouldn't matter.
I mean, is the county treasurer going to come in on Christmas? Is anybody else going to come in on Christmas? These people, you have to remember, are on call. These other officers you're talking about are not on call. These people are on call. Everybody understand the difference there?
I've been on call a lot of hours.
We're not talking about you, though.
I know it.
You could come work for the county if you wanted to. Okay?
But it, for me, it has to be the same for all everybody.
It should be the same for all departments. If we're and I understand when they are called, when they are on call. Now, Terry, back to Terry's point, though, if they're not on call, then that shouldn't be a factor here or whatever.
I think there's something unique and different about the way that the highway department operates. And when any time we have an opening, which is a pretty low volume, we're not exactly flooded with appropriate applicants. I know that's been an issue in the past. But we are an equal opportunity employer, so at any time somebody wants to apply for that, anybody working in this building or another office can go down there if they think they want to cut a fat hog off the call-out pay on a holiday. Nobody's doing it. It's a low-volume issue. Jobs are different. Backhoe operator doesn't make the same as a heart surgeon, doesn't make the same as a chief deputy. The roles are different. And at some point, people are paid so much for a particular job. Again, I think it's a low-volume issue. I'm not going to arm wrestle Eric over it. But
I'm not even trying to push one way or another. I just want a number in there that we never talk about again.
Black and white, no gray.
Right.
Well, let's put it this way. And right here now, it says 2.5 times the employee's regular hourly rate. So at that, what we have in this call-out pay, they would be paid at 2.5 times instead of the 1.5 times. If somebody wants to change that or make a difference, then we need a motion to do that. Otherwise, we're going
to
leave number three.
We
can't leave number three the way it is.
It has to
come. Yeah, there's a comp time thing in there.
We cannot leave that line the way it is.
Because we need to.
We cannot transfer that to comp time because it's not over.
Okay, volume. Number three, we do need a motion. I don't know how you're going
to
do that then.
Because you have to remove the words "may convert to comp time."
Number three is we have to
because of labor laws.
Of the labor laws.
Put hours into a comp time bank that are not over 40 hours.
Well, we just got to pay it out.
You have to pay it out. Well, let's go. Let's handle that first. I'll entertain a motion then to remove the may convert to comp time on number three.
So moved.
Second.
A motion by Bauman and a second by Juergens. Everybody understand there what we're doing there? Because of labor laws, we have to remove that. You can't, until you worked 40 hours, you can't do that. So, vote. 7-0 in favor. Then let's go back to the first part of that. We're either going to leave that. And then everybody will be under the understanding that that is 2.5 times when they're called out on holidays. If we want something different, we got to make a motion and change it.
And I think if we leave it the way it is, we're still going to have the discussion of is that a total of 2.5 or is that 2.5 plus the holiday?
We're talking about their hours worked. We're not talking about
benefit. It doesn't exactly say that.
And we need to add different wording in there.
See, I want to add a line that says call-out pay will be in addition to any benefit hours.
then that would put the 2.5 times for Holiday. You want to add a number 6, you mean, down at the bottom?
I'd rather swap it out to this other one. But
okay, yeah, where you want to add it? Number 3? Because you're making a motion here now, okay?
Where would that be best? I would still like to just get rid of these 5 and add these other 4 from the other page.
Motion?
I make a motion to remove these 5 items under the call-out pay and amend them with the 4 on the other sheet I gave you guys. With item 4 deleting, be paid the coinciding call-out rate above, and then leave it so pay is in addition to benefit hours. Example, paid holidays, paid vacation.
Can I ask Eric a question? On number 3, it says 2 or 2.5.
That was something we have to vote on that or decide on that. I would say leave it as 2.5 unless it changes, because that's what's in the other.
You make your motion, okay?
Okay, and that's with 2.5 in there as it is in the existing policy.
Minimum 2 hours, be paid 1.5 times normal pay rate, be paid 2.5 times normal pay rate on holidays, and then how are you going to word number 4 here?
Call out rate is in addition to any benefit hours paid.
And cross out the IE part, or leave the IE
part? I'll leave IE paid holidays, paid vacation. But that way there's no question, it's in addition to benefit hours.
But you're leaving the IE paid holidays, paid vacation. So what you're doing is that over here where we have these 5 examples, or 5 designations, you're going to take the 4 on this other call-out policy and substitute them in there. We're going to get rid of those 5 and use these 4.
That's what I'm proposing.
That was a motion?
Yes.
Okay, we have a motion by Tiemann.
Second.
Second by Lytle. Now we'll have discussion.
Clarification.
Yeah.
So number 3, based on what you're saying, is I agree with 1, I agree with 2. Number 3, for clarification, that'll be 2.5.
Be paid at 2.5 times normal pay rate on holidays.
I agree with that, and I agree with 4, which...
it's basically the same thing that we did.
I agree with it. Basically the same.
It's the same thing.
All right. Vote.
Okay.
Any more discussion?
I agree with it.
So we are changing our... Well, is this a Gage County Highway Department, or is it going to be a county call-out pay policy?
Can I?
Yep.
Can I, Eric? Okay. That's one of the things that I wanted to interject is that instead of having Gage County Highway Department call-out policy, this should be Gage County call-out policy. So,
I'd amend my motion, too. I'd rather just swap these 2 completely. And then chop this one if we want, but make it, it'd be real easy. Gage County call-out policy. That puts that gets rid of the comp time. That puts $50 a week in for the person that's actually on call that we're paying now, that's not in the handbook, but we are paying that.
So what you're saying, the one, and I don't even know when that was effective, 5-1 of 2013, you're amending your motion to...
Substitute the 2 policies with the changes that we just
substitute
discussed.
Substitute this policy and have this policy as 5-23 of 18.
Just suggest withdraw your motion and start over, because
poor
Don's going to have to make minutes on this stuff.
I'll withdraw my motion.
Okay, hold it. Gary, is that good?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Okay. New motion.
I moved to swap this policy for the old policy with Highway Department scratched out and the other changes to the numbers that we made on the previous motion, which would be 2.5 times normal pay, and call-out rate is in addition to benefit hours paid, i.e. holidays, vacation. By doing that, we add the $50 in, we get rid of the comp time, we have it written in there that they'll clock in, clock out. And then this, the last paragraph of this, though, that goes with what Terry said. That does mean it's call out. It's not we come in early, we work late. So, I mean, if that's what we intend, that's fine. If it's not what we intend, then you guys are going to want to get rid of that last paragraph. But that would be my motion now to replace the old one with this new one.
With a couple of your changes in that, at number three is cross out the two. It'll be 2.5 times. And at the way top of the page, it will be Gage County call-out pay policy, not Gage County Highway Department call-out pay policy. Now we have a motion.
Second.
And we have a second. Motion by Thiemann and a second by Lytle. Any more discussion?
Yes.
Oh.
I'm going to vote against this because I don't agree it should be countywide. I think it potentially puts us in conflict with another agreement, and I think that it should be specific to a department. But the substance of it internally, 1 through 5, is basically the same. Expanding it countywide is all I'm in disagreement with.
Gary?
Yeah. The reason that I think this is countywide is you got an individual that works here at the courthouse that is out in the environment, probably has it rougher than somebody that's sitting in a cab of a truck pushing snow. Yes, they have the stresses of pushing snow and being worried that they're going to run into a vehicle on the roads and whatever else. But Dave Jones comes in when we have snow issues and he's running a manual shovel in the conditions. He's on top of a tractor pushing this stuff. Is just as much of a risk, and I think that he should be taken care of just the same as anybody else. Anybody else that gets called out, which is, again, very minimal hours, anybody else that gets called out, not scheduled, called out, should fall under this also.
But his classification, he's an exempt employee. This would be for non-exempt.
Oh, he's non-exempt.
He's hourly?
Yes.
Oh, I thought he was exempt.
No.
Okay, he doesn't qualify.
Oh.
The one thing, I don't have a problem with what you're bringing up, but other than Dave, do we have anybody else?
Occasionally.
Huh?
Occasionally.
Yeah, probably is.
On a holiday, it's an employee that's going to be in here working. Yeah. If I have somebody come up to, but like, I got a brief, this guy get typed up. Okay, that's fine. I pay him. That's overtime. Not a problem. By the handbook. Matt brought up a really good deal, though, with your FOP.
Yes.
Man, I tell you what, I wouldn't touch that with a 20-foot pole.
You got to.
This has got to be exempted, anybody working at the sheriff's office.
And certainly.
Because you got a separate contract on that. And
right.
So that's just a technical thing that's got to be covered. But I'm just asking, because other than Dave, and I didn't, Gary brought up a good point on him. But again, if
well, you got Rosie involved in that also.
Yep.
Okay.
Rosie.
But you could make your janitor, but your janitors are directly under your control.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Galen's under, you know, I mean, he decides who's going to be, you know, who's going to get called out. And over here, Dave kind of, you know, he just makes a decision and he's over here doing it. So. Again, if you want to put janitorial staff or put Davey in line with it, I think you want to be careful if you just make it across the board. As I said last time, everybody's not equal. I know that sounds horrible in a democracy. You got to treat them fair, but you know, equal is one of those things. There's a complete difference from somebody that's working as a secretary or a chief deputy in my office versus somebody that's out there running a grader in a snowstorm. Yeah, it's just the way life is. And I don't even know what the two of them make. But at a given point, you couldn't pay me enough to do it. So I know you're trying to solve a problem, but sometimes I think you're looking for a problem that ain't there. And it's just because you've gotten beat up so much on this thing. You know, it's almost painful to watch you going back and forth on this stuff.
Well, it is, and we're trying to micromanage this policy.
Well, no, you're not trying to micromanage. You're trying to be fair.
We're trying to be fair, but
that's fine.
But then
we're changing this to a Gage County call-out policy, but if you start the whole thing, when events arise from car services provided by the Gage County Highway Department. But we're making it this Gage County call-out policy, then we're referring all of it to the Gage County
Highway Department in it. That's a good point, too, because that we'd have to cross out that or leave it all in. And then it's all back to one highway, the one employee will be designated by the highway superintendent. So we are right back to Gage County Highway Department.
Right. Call out us for emergency situations only. Yep. The treasurer might not have an emergency situation, but they have an additional project they have to work on. It's not an emergency, but they need extra help to do it. The clerk's office doing elections or something else, exactly the same way. I think this is a mess.
It's not a mess. We're trying to get something to fit more than what it maybe needs to be.
Okay, it's not a mess.
Yeah. It is a mess trying to figure it out and stuff.
The biggest thing is that the 2.5 times really doesn't matter. That's what we talk about. The biggest change here is how we deal with on-call, or not on-call, call-out. The biggest difference here, the dollar amounts aren't that big a deal. It's, are we going to treat it as call out or are we going to treat it as a day extension? If I'm understanding this right, we're billing out day extensions as call out. That's okay. Well, that'll be a change then the way they're paying out, because we won't be paying call out anymore in the morning when we're there earlier, and we won't be doing that.
No, that isn't what was stated, Eric. If someone gets a phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning and they weren't scheduled to work at 5 and they get that phone call at 3 in the morning, yeah, that's call out. How much more clear do I have to be about that?
I mean, if we manage things and we're doing our job managing things well at all, you only get snuck up on by a snowstorm once every few years.
That's all we're talking about. It very rarely... What's the...
But Terry, if you mind.
Yeah.
What Eric is saying, Eric's correct. You're both correct. You guys just aren't listening to each other. That's the way it's supposed to be.
I don't understand what he's
That's the way it's supposed to be. Eric's stating the way it's been and the way it's been handled. Call out has been everything outside of the hours. It hasn't been when that specific call has been made.
I guess I don't agree with that, but that could be correct. Go ahead.
That's what Eric is stating, though.
That's what I'm being told. Galen's saying we aren't doing that, and then the clerk's office says we are doing that.
All right.
And then we're in between. Well, I don't want to be in between. We just want it.
No, this is the thing of it is, we get to make the decision. Okay. We get to not make the decision. We need to clarify it.
So that we can never
talk
about
this. Which we're having a hard time doing.
this policy has become the analogous to pulling the string on a sweater. And the more you pull it, the more you just unravel that sucker. I don't think we've got much of a sweater left.
Well, we ought to just not have it. Can you get paid time and a half when you're on overtime? And you don't if you don't.
You got something else, Gary?
Eric just said you guys have made a lot of the same things that I've said over the years. This policy, while I like the intent of what we were doing several years back, it really is more of a pain than it's worth. It's minimal hours, absolutely minimal hours. Part of my point to a whole county policy was that most of the time, if the sheriff's department gets called out to go do something outside of their scheduled hours, they're already on overtime hours anyway. So they're getting call-out pay, technically. Dave Jones comes in. Dave Jones comes in. But Dave Jones gets called in. Dave Jones is on overtime, so he's getting call-out pay already. So what we were doing here, quite frankly, was to protect some people when the occasion arose that were not at work through the week, and then they got called in to do snow removal or whatever, that they were going to get their overtime pay even though they didn't have the worked hours in for the week.
Didn't have the 40 hours.
Right. Which, right or wrong, I'm not going to say.
Call for the question.
What's the motion? The motion we have is?
Replace the current policy with the one that Eric has here. And that's this one.
And that's going to be Gates County Highway.
And there, what changes were made to that?
His motion says Gage County policy, and it was...
Okay. It'd be 2.5 times,
on
holidays, in addition to benefit hours, benefit paid hours. But right now, it reads Highway Department all the way through except on the top line.
What actually changes did you make from the old policy to this one then? That's the question I guess.
The biggest thing is it says $50 compensation to the person on call because they're getting paid that. It's not in our policy.
All right.
They have to clock in, clock out. This makes it a call-out policy.
In that... There, then it says Gage County Highway Department. Did you change that too?
It says it all the way through except on the top line. It right now we've changed it to Gage County instead of Gage County Highway Department, which...
And I'll vote against that also.
Like Mr. Byers said, that doesn't really work, I guess, because it has Gage County Highway all the way through the paragraph. So,
But the question was called on the motion you made, and the motion made was just eliminate Highway Department only in the top line.
That's the only motion? I'm sorry.
He called for question on the motion made. So the motion you made, we only crossed out the Highway Department in the top line.
Okay, Terry, so what we're voting on is taking Gage County Highway Department or Highway Department off.
We're not only voting, the top line.
We're not voting on switching the whole policy. We're just voting on...
You are. That's
yep. Yep. You switch...
The current policy with this policy.
Your motion you made was you were switching this new proposal completely for this other one, and you made two corrections to it. It was number three, it would be 2.5 times normal pay rate, and then just on the top line only, it's Gage County Highway... The Highway Department is crossed out. It'll be Gage County. That was what the motion was made, and Matt called for a question on that motion. So that's what we're voting on.
Can I amend that motion if the question's called on it?
That I don't know.
He called the question so that basically without debate it comes up.
Yep.
All right. Then whatever smoke
then
clears,
you come back.
Then you can go back and see what... You can make new motions or amend them.
Right.
The question's been called on that motion that was made, and that's what we're voting on. Everybody ready to vote? Oh, Terry?
I want to make sure I understand this. We're voting on this whole package now?
You're voting on what his motion was for this here package. His motion crosses out the Highway Department on the top line.
All right.
And it leaves 2.5 in there instead of 2 on number 3. That was the motion made?
It's Gage County instead of Gage County Highway Department.
Right, but that paragraph, that next paragraph in there all stays in there, though.
And I cannot amend that.
You cannot amend that.
You take Highway Department out on the top and leave it all the way through.
That's what the motion was made, and that's what we're voting on.
And with the addition of the $50 a week, we added $2,600 to the budget that wasn't there before.
No, we didn't.
They're already getting that $50 a week.
It's not in the call.
Okay, very good. All right.
Yeah.
We're not adding anything.
You almost took that step.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded and then called question, so we'll vote.
Christmas tree.
Durham, you're abstaining, and so is
Byers. No, I'm not abstaining.
You're voting no?
Yeah,
what about
I'm
Dan?
Voting no also.
Okay. We have one in favor, Lytle, and Jurgens Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Byers, and Thiemann are against.
Okay, I'm making another motion.
Oh, no.
Swap the two policies as they are. Change line 3 to 2.5 times. Line 4 would read... Call-out rate above will be in addition to any benefit hours, paid holidays, paid vacation, and leave everything else as is.
The top line is going to read what?
Top line would read Gage County Highway Department. call out pay policy.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I'll second it.
So this is specifically just for the highway department.
Okay.
Is that correct? That's what this
motion,
is.
Motion by Tiemann, second by Lytle.
Yep.
So you're doing the same thing. You're replacing it. Now, what did you say about number four? You're leaving it as it's written here, right?
Yep. Basically, delete be paid the coinciding, and just leave call-out rate above in addition to any benefit hours, or call-out rates above will be in addition.
So you're leaving it as it's wrote here.
Basically, yeah.
And you're put basically what you change then is you're putting Gage County and you're adding back the highway department on the top line.
I'm undeleting it.
You're undeleting it.
Okay, and the first four words are deleted on line number four. Be paid the coinciding. You're deleting those first four words.
And so if they work 8 hours on a holiday, they're going to get paid 3.5 times.
We can go back and change that. I'm just trying to change this over first.
No, John.
That's what he's got.
No, they're getting 2.5 times plus their benefit hours. Don't confuse it by saying 3.5 times.
In effect, they're getting 3.5 times.
Then we're going to be...
That's what they're going to interpret.
That's what I want to motion. That's my motion now. If we want to change that, we can change it afterwards, make a motion to change it after. But this is just this.
Okay. Discussion? Ready to vote? Vote. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in favor. Juergens, Bauman, Dorn, Lytle, and Tiemann, and against Hill and Byers. Your hand.
Do you need a motion to beat a dead horse?
We've done that already. He's dead. And then some. Gary.
I'm going to continue on with the beating of the dead horse.
Thank you.
Because we have other issues.
Yes, we do.
Okay. So with this policy and what we've been doing in the past, you have an on-call individual. And we expect that on-call individual to go out and do jobs, but we also expect that person to have a second person with them, which is safety, out of safety, I think, is expected. How do we continue to have an on-call person that's getting paid money to be on-call, and then you have a second person that is expected to go out with that on-call person, but yet you don't have... Why do we not just have a second...
How do you handle that now, Galen? What? How do you handle that now?
When we get a call?
When we get a call out.
Whoever's on call gets the call, and they call somebody to go out and assist them.
And they basically have a list, and they keep going down until they find somebody that can go with them.
And just call the employee, yeah. Most of them try to call the local ones that live in Beatrice first. If they have to go outside, like a lot of people live in Wymore or whatever, then they
will.
And that's what I see in the difference in this. The one that's getting the $50 is expected to be available and answer his phone and be available. The next person is whoever they reach that fits the skill level that they need to go out.
Yeah.
So
do you ever have problems?
So they're technically not on call. They're called when needed,
right? And that leads you to the other thing is that when you're talking about snow removal, those individuals are not on call. They are not on call individuals. You have one person that's on call. The rest of them are on a list that if something happens, they need to be able to be available, but they are not on call. If we refer to them as being on call, then they should be paid as being on call.
I think we need an attorney to answer this one.
No, don't involve them.
Leave it as it is.
I'll be honest with you, and I'm going to piece some people off about it. You need to quit trying to use the words to generate more income on a job you agreed to do. And we'll just leave it at that. Most people are honest about it. And again, I think this is what John, we were talking about this. You're getting, well, I'm not going to use numbers because I'll goof it up. But don't try and make it one more level up. You know, you're getting the benefit day in 2.5 times if we have an emergency. That's fair. Don't try and beat it into 3.5 plus the benefit time. And I'll guarantee you somebody's going to ask that question. No. And I think what you've done today is say, okay, we're being very fair in paying that. And I think, Galen, is this basically what has been done? Okay. So we shouldn't hear anything back from the other side either. But you will. And that's just the nature of some people that want to say, oh, hey, we can. And again, Don has to review it and go, no, that's not what was said. And I just hope at that point that her and Galen can talk about it and get it resolved so it doesn't involve you people.
Yeah, correct.
That would be the best.
And the final item is that it now, I just want to point out, it does state they will clock in and be on clock at that point, and then they will clock out.
They can probably use a computer, can't they?
Anything else?
So when you say clock in and clock out, so when they're called for on-call time, and one of the foremen calls someone to come out, their time don't actually start until they get into the shop and physically clock in and then clock back out. So they're not getting no compensation for on non-working hours, or say driving in wherever you live, driving into that shop. Prior, it was always handled if you got called at 2, 2.30, 1 o'clock, or 5 o'clock in the morning, whatever. If it was on call, your time started from the time you come in until you got to the shop.
Basically, until the time.
You're paid for that driving.
When they left home, they were getting.
Yes.
Right. Right now, it's just when you clock in and when you clock out.
That's what you're proposing now. Okay. I just wanted to clarify.
But not what we're doing now.
No, because we start our time when you get called at home.
That is a new
policy.
You can put a line item on your consent.
And part of that was, too, when we talked about this the other day, if we're paying them, they're in their own vehicle. That's a whole different liability set then, too. They're in their own vehicle.
I don't even know which one we voted on.
Working time.
Yep.
Okay. Is there anything else in here that anyone sees there'd be any question with or that you want to change? It'd be really nice.
By the next meeting, there will be questions. Don't worry about it.
It'd be nice if when this is done, we never hear about it again.
By the next meeting, there will be questions. If not, in future meetings, there will be questions. I can just tell you that. We didn't.
Absolutely.
John, are you happy?
We didn't get rid of that issue. I'll just say that. So we'll have it brought up again. So, moving on.
In regards to this last discussion, you know, instead of maybe a minimum of 2 hours, maybe it'd be better, it would be, say we were paid an additional hour, and then if they work 3 hours, they get paid 4, which covers that drive time, and it covers the person local as well as somebody from Odell or wherever. But
so you're thinking about bringing that amendment next meeting?
Yeah, next meeting, yes.
You can.
Oh.
Next time.
Okay. Anything else? Is there anything else we have on the agenda?
I hope not.
I hope not either.
Nope. Unless you...
All right. Oh, I'll comment on that. Jill Nelson did give a little bit of an update on the insurance policies, on insurance issue. He did end up going to Chicago, I think, to take some deposition on some reinsurers in the last week or 10 days or something. Mm-hmm. I think it was. And then the other thing is they are working on responses to some filings that have been that have happened in the last couple 3 weeks or month or whatever. So there are things moving there a little bit. It's not at a fast pace, but they are working on things. It's not just like it's sitting there waiting or whatever stuff. So Roger, you want to comment more on
basically? I think just to be aware that a lot of this stuff is like writing briefs. Which is time consuming, so I think basically what they're giving you a heads up, there'll be
some bills,
some reports from Mr. Jurgens on their billings next month. They'll be, but again, I would just point to you that this is going to be pivotal issues, so it's important that, you know, it's kind of early in the suits, but they involve whether we can keep these people basically on the hook. And and again, the good news is we're still waiting on the Eighth Circuit. So I'm assuming they're very, it's been very time consuming, but that usually means they're looking at the issues that have been presented on appeal.
Yes. So they are continuing to work on it. It's not like and he did detail what there will be some expenses for his trip to Chicago and stuff like that. So
But he's not billing us for the Cubs game he went to.
No, he didn't bill us for that.
Just the White Sox.
The Cubs had, he came home
just
with.
Just the White Sox.
So, anything else for the good of the order? If not, meeting adjourned at 10:40.